Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're with us today, wherever you may be coming and joining us from. This morning we're here in our parlor, a lovely room that has beautiful lighting and gives a gentle breeze when we open the windows. To help us as we begin worship, remember that a church like us is full of many different places. And we need the gentle breeze of God to blow through all of those places, that the Holy Spirit would transform our whole being. Today we're going to be talking more about that concept as we look at our scripture in the sermon. But first I have some announcements, and then we will begin our time of worship. First, reminder that our weekly Bible study continues to meet on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. via Zoom. If you need that information, please reach out to me or the office, and we can make sure you get it. That does go out every week on our weekly news blast, so if you say to yourself, I haven't seen that, but you haven't opened the news blast, that might be why. So take a chance and read that every Tuesday when it comes out. Also, a reminder that the food pantry run by Father Dan's is back open. That will be the first Monday and the third Wednesday of every month. Mondays are midday and Wednesdays are in the evening, so please call if you need more specific details about what time to show up. As well, our weekly Wednesday night meals continue. We're always looking for people to help, so if you want to help, please reach out to the office so we can put you in contact and get your information to the person organizing our Wednesday evening meals. And if you are in need of assistance, please feel free to come any Wednesday between 5:30 and 6:30. And drive through our parking lot to be given a meal. We want to make sure that nobody goes hungry during this time, and we're trying to do everything that we can to help. Now, finally, I would like to say that if you would like a copy of the devotional that we get, the Daily Bread, the Upper Room, if you would like a copy of the Upper Room, please reach out to the office and let us know. We will mail one to you. You don't have to come and get it. We'll make sure it comes to you so that we can limit, you know, as much risk as possible of any exposure to anybody else. So if that's something that you would like, please let us know and we'll get one of those shipped your way. And now, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to worship as we gather this morning. Thank you.
join me in the call to worship. We call out to you, be the God we dream. You respond by being the God you are. We discuss you and define you and expect of you. But you unravel our expectations and definitions. We seek to limit and control, putting you in a box of our own making. You turn our boxes upside down. We seek now. You bid us wait. We seek obvious salvation. You send a child. We seek clear-cut and easy answers. You give us hope. Upside-down divinity, give us the strength to resist a culture of greed, of haves and have-nots. Turn our eyes away from the gold statues, our idols of selfishness and fear. Help us to let go of our expectations of you so that we might be ready to welcome you wherever and whenever you appear. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all we will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Now let us gather for a time of prayer, and let us do so by beginning with our unison prayer. Most gracious and loving God, we have tasted your goodness in days gone by, and it has satisfied us. But now, with this new day, we turn to you again for the bread of life that you have prepared for us, and for the wine of the Spirit that you pour out for your people. Help us, O Lord, help us, Lord, to empty ourselves of those things that hinder us from knowing the fullness of your love, and fill us with those things that tend to make us all that you want us to be. We need your presence, Lord. We need your anointing. Touch us, we pray, and make us whole. We ask it through Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen. And now let us have a time of silent prayer and reflection.
Thank you.
Lord, we gather and we lift up to you many and much. We ask for prayers for Ralph and Colleen Kane, prayers for Jay Taylor, for those who are suffering and those who are celebrating, those struggling on all fronts. We pray for our country, for our leaders, that they would be open to your guidance and direction. We pray for all of our friends and neighbors who are struggling during this time. We pray for the Collins family. We pray for you, and we ask that you would pray for us. In the words of Renee, I'll pray for you and you pray for me, and together we'll all pray for each other and this world. We need it. Lord, be with us. Hold us, lift us, guide us. Grant us wisdom, peace, compassion, hope during these times. We may feel like we are wearing down, and we may feel like we are worn out, and we may feel like we can go no further. And yet we know that you are here, O Lord, guiding and sustaining us in the midst of this journey. We ask that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon and within each and every one of us, that we could be more and more your servant each and every day. We ask that we could have wisdom, like your servant Daniel, that we could know what you desire, and that we could see the lessons and the gifts and all that you have taught and blessed us with, and use that for your will to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so in that spirit, Lord, we offer this prayer that it would sustain and build us up and carry us through any of the difficult times we encounter. And so we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to join us for our children's moment. We're here in my office, a room that many of you probably have not seen, to do a children's moment that probably would not have been as easy to do if we were not in the filming mode that we are in right now. But today in our scripture, kids, we're going to talk about Daniel. Now, Daniel was very smart. He had been gifted very much by God, and he had a great many gifts. And one of those was the gift of being able to interpret many different things. And the king of Babylon misused many items that had already been stolen from the Hebrew temple, and it angered God, and a spirit came and wrote things on the wall, and the king could not decipher them. And so somebody said, well, call this man Daniel, for it is said that he is wise, and your father trusted him greatly. He should be able to decipher this for you. And Daniel comes in, and he's able to decipher the words, and he tells the king, I've got some bad news for you about what it means. And he helps the king understand what the writing on the wall means. Well, similar to that, I, in my office, as you can see, I have a fish tank. And my little friends are in there swimming around, probably wondering if I'm going to give them any food right now or not. But one of the things about a fish tank is that if you do not take care of it, it can get rather messy. And so over time, you'll start to see things grow on the walls of the fish tank. And if you don't stop and clean it every so often, take water out, scrub it, treat it with chemicals, change the filter, wash the plants, all of these things, it can go pretty badly for the fish and the tank itself. And I think it's important because it's a good lesson for us in the importance of taking care of things, because often we get heads up that things are going to happen. So in our story, Daniel gives the king warning. He says, you had chances. You saw your father. You knew about all of these things, and you had chances to change, and you simply didn't listen. Well, sometimes the fish tank starts looking just a little grimy, and I think to myself, I probably have time before I have to clean it again. But the reality is that it can go from a little grimy to very grimy really quickly. And if I ignore the hints and signs that it is giving me that it is time to clean my fish tank, I may not only have to be cleaning the fish tank, but I may have to be getting new fish, because I would ignore the signs that have been sent. And so we have to keep our eyes and ears open and be aware of a great many things and have the wisdom to understand what it means to be a disciple and to follow Jesus and his teaching and to know and read the signs. Now, what am I talking about when I say that? It means a great many things. One of the ways that you can think about that is when you're talking with a friend of yours and you can tell they're uncomfortable by the conversation, they're giving you signs that they don't want to talk about something anymore. And that's a time for us to read the sign and back off from that conversation. We're going in to hug somebody and they're very clearly uncomfortable. We can read the sign and say, okay. But likewise, we can also read the signs by studying the scriptures and knowing our faith and knowing what it means to follow Jesus and his teachings. And that sign sometimes is just simply, hey, here's an opportunity to be a good person. So today, I hope that you will take opportunities to be a good friend, a good neighbor, and to read the writing on the wall by taking opportunities to practice what you've learned, to discuss with your parents the nature of faith, and to engage more fully in chances to grow, so that hopefully your fish tank will not end up grimy, but instead your fish tank will be beautiful and alive because you've taken opportunities to constantly work on it and keep it in tip-top shape. Let's continue now with the rest of our worship service.
Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. King Belshazzar threw a huge party for 1,000 of his princes, and he drank a lot of wine in front of them. While he was under the wine's influence, Belshazzar commanded that the gold and silver equipment that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from Jerusalem's temple be brought to the party so that the king, his princes, his consorts, and his secondary wives could drink wine out of them. So the gold equipment that had been carried out of the temple, God's house in Jerusalem, was brought in, and the king, his princes, his consorts, and his secondary wives drank out of it. They drank a lot of wine, and they praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Right then, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the king's palace wall in the light of the lamp. The king saw the hand that wrote. The king's mood changed immediately, and he was deeply disturbed. He felt weak, and his knees were shaking. The king yelled, calling for the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king told these sages of Babylon, "Anyone who can read this writing and tell me its meaning will wear royal robes, will have a gold chain around his neck, and will rule the kingdom as third in command." Then all the king's sages arrived, but they couldn't read the writing or interpret it for the king. At that point, King Belshazzar was really frightened. All the color drained from his face, and his princes were also very worried. Upon hearing the commotion coming from the king and his princes, the queen entered the banqueting hall and declared, "Long live the king! Don't be so disturbed. Don't be so frightened. There is a man in your kingdom who has the breath of holy gods in him. When your father was alive, this man was shown to possess illumination, insight, and wisdom like the very wisdom of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed this man as chief over the dream interpreters, enchanters, Chaldeans, and diviners. Yes, your father did this, because this man, Daniel, the one the king named Belteshazzar, possesses an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight into the meaning of dreams. He can explain ambiguities and resolve mysteries. Now, in light of all that, summon Daniel. He will explain the meaning of this thing."
Our second lesson for today comes from Daniel chapter 5, verses 17 through 30. Daniel answered the king, "Keep your gifts Give the rewards to someone else, but I will still read the writing to the king and interpret it for him. Listen, your majesty, the most high God gave kingship, power, glory, and majesty to your father Nebuchadnezzar. Because of the power God gave Nebuchadnezzar, all peoples, nations, and languages were terrified of him. He did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, killing or sparing, exalting or humbling. But when he became arrogant, acting in stubborn pride, he was pulled off his royal throne, and the glory was taken from him. He was driven away from other humans, and his mind became like an animal's. He lived with wild donkeys. He ate grass like cattle, and dew from heaven washed his body until he realized that the Most High God dominates human kingship and sets over it anyone he wants. But you, who are his son, Belshazzar, you haven't submitted, even though you've known all this. Instead, you've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. The equipment of God's house was brought to you, and you, your princes, your consorts, and your secondary wives drank wine out of it, all the while praising the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods who can't see, hear, or know anything. But you didn't glorify the true God who holds your very breath in his hand and who owns every road you take. That's why this hand was sent from God and why this message was written down. This is what was written down. Mene, mene, tekel, and parson. This is the meaning of the word mene. God has numbered the days of your rule. It's over. Tekel means that you have been weighed on the scales and you don't measure up. Peres means your kingship is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar commanded that Daniel be dressed in a purple robe, have a gold chain around his neck, and be officially appointed to third in command in the kingdom. That very same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. So the king, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, whom Daniel has loyally served and given wise counsel to, is now the king. Nebuchadnezzar, we find out, has suffered a severe mental failure and has thought himself like a beast, eating grass and simply wandering with animals, completely and utterly gone mentally. And yet now his son is king. His son who saw what happened, who knew all of these things, and yet he has not listened. He throws a party, and they drink wine out of the items from the temple in Jerusalem. They drink wine out of the holy artifacts from the Jewish temple. And then suddenly things begin writing on the wall, and they are scared, and they want to know what is happening. And it is a sign of his end coming upon him. This is what Daniel tells him. Daniel comes and says, "Did you not know who God is?" Nebuchadnezzar had multiple run-ins with God, and he encountered God in the fiery furnace, and he encountered God through the witness of Daniel and his friends. And Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar's son, "Did you not know? You had opportunity that you squandered, and now it will be taken away from you. Did you not know?" All of us have a myriad of opportunities placed before us. And all of us have many opportunities to encounter God and learn more about God and the risen Christ. And yet we must ask ourselves often, did we not know? Because we don't live into that when the timing is right. Because sometimes that timing is not convenient. We face in our country an unprecedented health crisis, one that is faced world around, that is not isolated to here. And yet we also face in our country a struggle to convince each other the importance of wearing masks, that we could do something like this, so simple, to help and care and protect our neighbor. A question that makes us ask ourselves, did you not know? The hope and fear simultaneously is that it will not take someone we know and love catching this disease, suffering with this disease, struggling against this disease, and hopefully not succumbing to this disease, for us to say to ourselves, did we not know that we could have worn a mask and made a difference? The king is so caught up in his own sense of power and superiority that he thinks only of himself. He has succumbed to one of the ultimate temptations of individualism over all else, of ignoring God over all else. It is difficult to handle the reality that individualism is not the top or the ultimate goal. That there is something more important than me and mine in the grand scope of our discipleship and our journey with Christ. But that indeed we are supposed to be a people who care about the collective, the whole body. As Paul writes about in Corinthians, that the ear cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. We are to care for the whole body, not to place ourselves and something that maybe is a minor inconvenience over the safety of the common good. And yet we face this moment. And we as disciples may ask ourselves, what could I do? What can I do? A simple first step to loving our neighbor and being a good disciple is to care for the whole of the body by doing something simple like wearing a mask. The king is so selfish that even after Daniel says, keep all that fancy stuff, but I will still interpret for you, the king's response is not to go, oh my gosh, whatever shall I do? My time is numbered. I've been found wanting. My kingship is divided. The king's response is simply, hey, give Daniel all the stuff. As if somehow that will offset what Daniel has said. The reality is, the king has had ample opportunity and encounter and witness of God, and yet has not lived into that one iota. In fact, going so far as to profane that which is holy. Something that is unforgivable, and that Daniel calls him out on it and says, God is angry with you. It is important that it is Daniel that tells him this, because Daniel is one of the great leaders of the Jewish people while they are in exile. He stays loyal to God on all fronts, and we're going to dig more into that next week and really get into one of the stories that we know well from Daniel. But Daniel, at all costs and at every turn, stays loyal to God above all else. One of the things that I love about the book of Daniel is that they keep saying, Daniel, who was named this by your father? Who was named this when he was brought into exile? But as an act of subversion against the state, Daniel continues to be called Daniel. He does not become that which the co-opter and that which the conqueror wants him to become. Daniel remains who he is in God, because that is stronger than who this people wants him to be. Daniel says to the king, didn't you know the power of God? Haven't you seen what God has and can do through me and through your father? Don't you know? Now, what are you going to do about it? The king continues to respond in a selfish manner. He makes no attempts, we are told, at change, but just says, reward Daniel. And then we find out that that very night, the king was to lose his kingdom. Daniel's interpretation comes true. What kind of person will we be while we journey here on earth? Will we be one who loves our neighbor, who lives into discipleship, and who does all that we can, whether it's something small like wearing a mask, or studying the Bible, or something big, or just something that matters, no matter whether it's big or small, visible or invisible? Will we do what is right and follow God and God's command to love neighbor? Will we do what is right and lean into the wisdom and power God grants us? Will we not find ourselves prey to individualism, but to remember the importance of the body of Christ, of which we are all a part? May we have the courage, the strength, and the fortitude to turn and follow the teachings of Christ, that we would not find ourselves in a situation where somebody is saying to us down the line, did you not know? Did you not have opportunity to see? Now, if you're saying to yourself, how can I do this? Wear a mask. How can I grow deeper in my faith? Study the scripture. How can I work on my bonds of community? If you want to be part of a small group focused on growing and informing itself in Christian discipleship in the Wesleyan tradition, then I ask that you reach out to me as I begin to work on forming some small groups. We are called and challenged to grow in our discipleship in every phase of our life so that we do not find ourselves in a situation where it said, did you not know? Because we are already prepared and able to answer, I did know, and I worked on it, and I was ready. No one will ever say to me, did you not know? Because I was a disciple, and I engaged in growth and hard conversation and deep spiritual work. Daniel says to the king, did you not know? And the king says, I was too busy worrying about myself to worry about anything else. And the lesson for us is that we have opportunity and time. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to come and walk among us and talk among us and teach among us and laugh and cry and sleep in boats and calm storms and heal the sick and raise the dead here among us, that we would be able to learn more about God. And then that Son died on a cross and rose for us, that death and the grave could be conquered, and that we would have new life in God. Not that we would then think only of ourselves, but that we would be able to do the amazing work of kingdom building here on earth. And that we would know God loves everybody and calls us to love everybody, just as God's grace is poured out into this world. And that is the God that we worship. A God who gives us so many second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chances that we would never find ourselves in a situation of saying, I didn't know. But we would say, you guided me. And so I knew and I followed. Amen.
Eternal Father, strong to save the sorrowers, thou the restless wave, who bid the mighty ocean deep its own. us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Savior, whose almighty word the wind and waves on this earth heard, who walked upon the foaming deep and calm amid its rage did sleep. O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Spirit, who did brood upon the chaos wild and rude, and bid its angry tumult cease, and gave for fears confusion peace. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Trinity of love and power, all travelers guarding dangers are, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoever they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea.
We come now to the time of our service of offertory, in which we engage in the sharing of our gifts and our offerings to the Lord, that we may be continually emboldened with a spirit of generosity and service and witness to God. And I know we cannot be together to place our offerings upon the altar, but we can and are gathered with God wherever we may find ourselves. So now let us engage in a moment of silent prayer and reflection as we offer ourselves and our gifts to God. Would you join with me in the doxology? Trust in you, O Lord, to hold fast to your teaching and guidance. Grant us the wisdom to be true disciples in a world full of options. Help us to be more fully your disciples in all aspects of our lives. May we live generously. Amen. As we prepare to go back out into the world, remember that we serve and follow a God who loves us, who gives us scriptures to study, who gives us teachers to listen to and to wrestle with. A God who says to each and every one of us, I love you just as you are, but come now and journey with me and let us see together who you can be. We are servants of Christ who engage in every opportunity that we can to be the hands and feet of God, whether it's something as simple as wearing a mask, as difficult and engaging in spiritual discernment, or as loving as serving someone a meal. We are disciples, and we are loved by God. Let us join in our benediction response.
Swing securely high you, daily manna still provide you, God be with you. neighbor's here till we meet.